Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games. Or not games today.
No, not games. Today we're sort of going off like into the outer reaches of the nerdverse.
Yeah, where?
Do you want to introduce our topic?
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the Rogue One trailer. Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, the new spin-off film that has been announced for release in December. As I announced, it was announced ages ago, but the trailer came out this week.
Yeah.
And we've all been watching it.
Yeah.
The internet is abuzz, I think it is fair to say, because it's Star Wars. And the internet likes to talk about Star Wars.
It does. The internet might collapse if there wasn't Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's what it seems like now.
Like, I definitely noticed that there were people sort of on Twitter and on social media who were like, oh god, have we got to talk about Star Wars again? The Force Awakens just went away and now it's come back with the Blu-ray, so but
yeah, I noticed that when I was walking through town at the weekend. I was like, why are the Star Wars posters up again?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, Blu-ray.
Yeah. It's out on digital distribution as well. We watched it last week and I'm kind of on a renewed Star Wars kick myself because it has come out on because we have been able to watch it again, so
right.
It's reignited my interest, I think.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I'd quite like to watch it again. I think I've only watched it once, so very strange.
You can get it on Google Play or I think iTunes or one of them or both.
Or
of them.
Other service providers are available.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Rogue One trailer, sort of first impressions.
Yeah,
I was excited, and you were.
I was sort of. My first reaction to it was that I was fairly indifferent about it. I mean, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Star Wars. I'm a long time fan of Star Wars, and sort of obsessively so when I was 14. And like I say, since Force Awakens has come out, I'm on sort of. I've been on a renewed Star Wars kick, and I'm sort of the second wave of that now that the Blu-ray is coming out, which I'm going to be getting. And but my first reaction to the Rogue One trailer was, all right, that's coming out in December. I suppose I'll probably watch it, but I won't go out of my way to make sure I catch it in the cinema unless it gets specifically good reviews. I think it really just doesn't register in the same part of my brain as sort of monolithic Star Wars does, the episode 4, episode 5 films, which is the main series. And it might also be slightly to do with the last time I went to see a Star Wars spin-off film in the cinema, which was the Clone Wars film, which I don't know if you ever saw that.
No, was that the animated?
It was CGI animated, and it had a Hutt character who sounded very much like Eric Cartman, and I think was referred to in the film as Stinky was the nickname. It was a kids' film, and
but
it was still really sort of bad, and did not enjoy that.
But then, having said that, though, this really doesn't feel like a kids' film.
No, absolutely.
That's kind of what I liked about it, is that it felt darker, and but there weren't any. There was fewer laughs, and there weren't any cutesy droids. You couldn't see, oh, that's going to be a toy at Christmas.
No, that's true. There's definitely less merchandisable stuff that appeared in the trailer. There were a couple of robot characters who we haven't seen before, and I think isn't Alan Tudyk voicing he's voicing like one of the robot characters. So there is going to be sort of something new that they can sell toys of, I think, but not as much as usual.
Yeah, but not the sort of cute, kind of kid-friendly.
Not BB-8, not R2-D2.
No, so, is the droid we saw is that sort of like dark, sort of charcoal grey, like very skeletal kind of looking thing, wasn't it?
Sort of reminded me of, I don't know if you ever played the Jedi Knight, the original Jedi Knight, they had a droid in that called 8088, and it reminded me visually of him a little bit, not sort of specifically, but that's who it reminded me of.
Oh, cool. So what do you think about the lead character, what little we've seen?
I appreciate that we've seen very little of her, but what we have seen is, it's there's that line at the beginning where it's like, oh, you're I can't remember
You
what
stole some
specifically
stuff.
sorry.
You stole some stuff
Yeah, you stole
and
some stuff. You're aggressive. People can't control you. And she's like, this is a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel. And that I did roll my eyes a little bit at that line. It felt a bit forced and a little bit weird and didn't sound like particularly natural dialogue, which is not something that you expect from a Star Wars film, which have always been sort of
No.
fantasy and.
I liked that this is a rebellion, isn't it? But I didn't think that she needed to.
That's the thing. She didn't need to put the punchline on it.
No,
Like,
because, yeah, we got it. That
and it
was,
would have,
that
she would have
was
sounded cooler if she hadn't, I think.
enough.
And then
So, I
there's the
agree.
Forest Whitaker stuff at the end where I think it's him talking. They lay it over. And he's like, this is supposed to be the Star Wars film, which is not, it doesn't have any Jedi in it. It's not about the Force. It's about, the
The
Jedi all
rebels.
extinct. It's about the rebels, but you've still got a character who is saying, it's basically saying Yoda things. Like he's still giving mystical advice, or not particularly mystical, but spiritual advice. He's like, who will you be?
I think every black Star Wars fan across the world is really worried that they're going to make Forrest Whitaker, that most hallowed of black actors, because he's just so versatile and great and has barely made a bad movie, that they're going to turn him into a magical Negro.
That was what came across from the trailer for me, definitely.
Please don't do that to Forrest Whitaker. But I mean, I was really excited to see him in the film because I was just, because he does make good choices. But sometimes people who make good choices are in Star Wars films because it's a Star Wars film and they always feel like they can't say no. But I was just really, I was like, yes, Forrest Whitaker's in it. He's awesome. I love him so much. And he's looking kind of, battle worn and everything. But yeah, some of that dialogue stuff, it was erring on the side of magical Negro.
And I think that is the thing that makes me most sort of ambivalent, or I'm not uninterested, but sort of for the moment at least, I'm indifferent about Rogue One, because
Cautious.
there are things that I really like about the trailer, I mean, and there are things I really like. It visually evokes Star Wars really well. It's got
Yeah, I think that's what got me so excited.
It's got that really great shot of like the Death Star dish being lowered into position, and
Yeah, and the fact that it started with the Star Destroyer, which reminds us of A New Hope, but then it kind of the shadow is over this huge ship and this vast
And the
shadow, and
lights on the Death Star look like stars against the blackness, and
yeah.
it reminded me of obviously A New Hope, but there's also the bit from a for The Force Awakens, which was also inspired by that bit from A New Hope. But it's the beginning shot where the Star Destroyer sort of eclipses a planet, and it looks like it's kind of dividing it in half against the black background, and the shadow is sort of indistinguishable from it. So I thought that was really good. It's got that guy who looks like Tarkin. It's got AT-AT walkers. It's got that rebel base alarm from A New Hope, which is, so there's a lot of attention to sort of environmental detail. But while that stuff is all really cool, it's not particularly difficult to visually evoke something like that. The actual hard bit of doing that film, the actual meat of the film for me, is going to be whether the tone and the story of the film are A, going to feel like they fit in with Star Wars, and B, kind of be good on their own merits. And I wasn't convinced by the dialogue and by the character that I saw, which admittedly is very little. I wasn't convinced that the story is going to be fantastic.
Now you're making me doubt.
Sorry?
Now you're making me doubt. You're turning me to the dark side. I know what you mean. But okay, so let's talk about the other little bits that were in it. So Donnie Yen and the I mean, he looks really cool. It was slightly silly that he's fighting stormtroopers with a stick. But, it's Donnie Yen and it's a good excuse to like shoehorn some badass martial arts into a Star Wars
That
film.
is great. Although I do wonder, again, going back to the thing, this is a film that doesn't have the Jedi, but it's still got kind of stick fighting in it, which is, you know, that's what lightsaber fighting is basically kendo. And I was like, I thought it was going to be mainly blasters and stuff, is what I got from that description.
Yeah.
But there might still be a lot of.
I'm quite happy to have Donnie Yen in a Star Wars film.
I don't mean to sort of make that as a particularly critical thing of the film.
No. So I think I watched some other video on it, and he was just like, I know stormtroopers are really bad shots, but they can't even shoot a guy with a stick. Yeah. I thought that it was a bit silly, but it was like, yay, Donnie Yen, and then it all melted away. And then I really loved the scene with the AT-ATs, the palm trees on the beach.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, you know, sort of old-fashioned war movie.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
Sort of set in the sort of South Pacific or something like that. Yes. Which is, you know, one of those influences on George Lucas when he created Star Wars, and, you know, the dogfights and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So I really loved that, because it's like, it's a completely new environment that we haven't seen before.
Yeah, certainly. I did sort of think it is a new environment, and it's good that it's something that we haven't seen in Star Wars before. I also thought it's not particularly alien looking. Like, palm trees are a very sort of specific thing that you know, from a region on Earth. And I saw them like, and I was like, oh, it's Star Wars happening in the South Pacific.
Yeah, but then Endor didn't look alien,
true.
Did it? When I was a kid and I watched that, I was like, oh, wow, it looks like Earth. And I remember my brother saying, it is Earth. I was like, well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah. So, because they've never been into the sort of pink trees and, you know, whatever.
No, they've never been. It didn't mean it really, really alien. All the really alien stuff is in the characters.
Yeah.
And again, there's very little of that in the Rogue One trailer. I think that is intentional, but
it is. It's a very human.
Yeah, precisely. And I wonder what Star Wars is going to be like without that element, because I can't actually think of another sort of extended universe thing that does that restricts the amount of alien stuff that you see in that way.
Yeah. So, but then there were alien races in the rebellion. So I'm sure there'll be something, because I mean, it's only what, 2 minutes or something, the trailer. So
that's true. And it may just be that they haven't sort of finished the CGI yet and can't show that stuff.
Could be, but yeah, I think they are going to focus on the more human side of things, hopefully, and less on the merchandisable characters.
Yeah.
Not that we think the Star Wars machine is cynical or anything.
I mean, that is one of the things that worries me about that. There's this, and the Han Solo film is coming out, and I do worry that this is the beginning of the Marvel-style franchise making effort that Disney has made towards Star Wars. And
but if they make good films...
The Force Awakens was a good film.
But I
think the main films, they do kind of stand apart as their own thing, and you're never going to be able to sort of make them part of the Star Wars universe. They're always going to be Star Wars, and everything else is part of their universe. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't want to be seeing, you know, 4 or 5 years down the line, like the third Han Solo film, and it crosses over with the second Rogue One film or whatever it is, and we move into Star Wars Phase 3.
I hope not as well.
But Disney being who Disney are, I think there is a real risk that may be what they end up
wanting.
Yeah,
Star Wars becomes Shrek.
and maybe that's why I'm sort of quite cautious about this film, is because it represents the harbinger of that. Or the Herald.
Yeah, I've been burned so many times with Star Wars, getting excited about Star Wars. I was cautious about The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I think we were all ready for it to be bad. But
yeah, Although, you know, one of our friends, Dave T, at role playing, he was who's actually been on in the Gin Lounge as well. He was just so excited right from the get go. It was just insane how excited he was, and I was just like, "Dave is just gonna have he's gonna have a rude awakening." But he didn't. He was fine. He, you know, he's like made his own Jedi outfit, and you know, he's like, "We've got to go at midnight. We've got to get dressed up." And I was just like, "Okay, I'll do it for you, Dave." Unfortunately, it was good. So, and so, what do you think about the ending of the trailer then? So the sort of the big, you know, what will you become thing, and they laid two themes over each other in terms of the music.
I did quite like that sort of vaguely haunting piano cover of the Star Wars theme. I thought that was very good. That was a nice interpretation of it.
Yeah.
What was the other thing that they laid over it? I didn't.
It was Leia's theme. Was it Leia's theme or Luke's theme?
Oh,
it's
yeah, my
Luke's theme. I think they layered, you know, the theme that he has when he goes back and finds his aunt and uncle.
Oh,
bird
yes, yes.
Stuff. You know, that sort
that
of like
happy scene.
Mournful tune. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I suppose with that ending, what they're trying to get us to ask ourselves is whether she's, you know, undercover and dressed as, you know, dressed in black, or she's sort of somehow turning to the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of sort of internet speculation on that point. I don't think we're really supposed to think that she might actually be turning to the Empire. I mean, the film is called Rogue One, and it sort of implies that she is this sort of, you know, roguish Han Solo like character. And you know, going undercover is the exact sort of thing that she wanted to do. I think they've just laid it over another line in the trailer to sort of make people ask.
The red herring, you're saying.
Sorry?
It's a red herring.
Yes, I think so. That's,
wow,
that's...
they're wrong fitting us. Yeah. She, I mean, the one thing is that she is beginning to fall. There seems to be a pattern of what female lead characters look like in Star Wars films.
Yeah, there's
that's like sort of they all look like Natalie Portman.
I was going to compare her with Rey, but yeah, you are right. There's definitely a sort of motif running there, isn't there?
Yeah, the sort of dark-haired, round-faced.
Yeah, I'm just sort of pleased that there is another female protagonist for this film after there was some kickback from, well, maybe misogynists, regarding Episode 7 having a female lead and, well, two non-white male leads, basically.
Yeah.
And I like that Disney thought, well, actually, we don't have to listen to you. We can make whatever we want. And it seems like Star Wars Episode 7 did pretty well, despite having a woman at the helm.
Yeah. Even though it had a woman, still did okay. I'm really happy about that too. Yeah, I mean they can all look the same. It doesn't matter. But that's great. I think there was some internet meltdown, wasn't there, about another woman? Two out of seven is a woman.
Yep.
Disgraceful. So I think she looks like Sarah Michelle Gellar to me.
Do you think?
She really looks like, because Sarah Michelle Gellar is actually brunette, I think, naturally.
Did not know that.
She really reminds me of Buffy, brunette Buffy.
Fair enough. Yeah, she's certainly got the sort of same, the same ass kicking energy.
Yeah, the same sassiness. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe a little more cautiously now after we've discussed the sort of dialogue.
Your excitement.
Yeah, the chunky dialogue. I guess I just let it wash over me and went, "Yay, Forrest Whitaker, Donnie Yen."
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it'll depend on the reviews. If it reviews badly, I won't see it in the cinema. But I am looking forward to seeing it at some point. If
I think
it's
I'm
bad,
doomed to always go to the cinema for a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Yeah, just.
If it turns out that it's bad, I won't be particularly disappointed. I'll just be able to file this film away, but and sort of,
Under a sort of a fun experiment that didn't work
or
out.
just Star Wars stuff that I don't care about. There's plenty. Like,
I think I might set up one of those
yeah,
files.
like I drop the
I
tools
have the
and
Star
stuff in
Wars
there.
games, definitely the Star Wars games.
Well, there are certainly some Star Wars games that I put in there. Yeah, like there's Republic Commando. I don't that's not really like when I think Star Wars, I don't think, oh, I want to play that first person shooter game they made where you play as, well, a Republic Commando. Yeah, that just goes in the bin. I think the prequels are probably in that bin as well, that and stuff
Yeah,
that I might have a
definitely.
look at some point, but I don't connect it with the main stuff. And I won't be too disappointed if I have to throw Rogue One in there as well.
Okay, yeah. I suppose, yeah, it's not the sort of main canon, sort of the core.
No, exactly.
So, yeah, it's true.
We were sort of having this discussion when we were watching the trailer, was that there's we watched what we saw the have you seen the third Hobbit film?
Yes.
There's that scene in it where it's Elrond and Gandalf and Saruman shows up and Radagast, and they're all having a big fight with the Ringwraiths. And it feels like
Oh,
fan fiction being added on to sort of monolithic thing.
that's
Because I
true.
don't think that is sourced from anything in the books, is it? It is just there for the film.
Yeah, well, I think quite a lot of
Yeah.
the Hobbit films were just.
And the Lord of the Rings sort of saga is so monolithic that it is just fan fiction. There's nothing to sort of distinguish it. Like, it's being produced by a
No.
studio. It's just some writer's sort of dream battle royale of characters. Then there's Rogue One, which sort of, again, you've got Star Wars, which is you've got the big monolith central films, episodes 1 to 9, and then you've got another writer who is not involved with the main saga doing this one. So you could sort of consider it fan fiction to a lesser extent, I think. And then we were comparing that with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is again an add-on to the main Harry Potter series, but this time it's written by Rowling and she screenwrites as well.
Oh right, yeah, the trailer for that does look
Yeah,
nice.
so there's a lot of stuff in the media at the moment which is adding on to something which is considered sacred, or at least has a huge sort of fan base that considers it sacred.
And I saw the Doctor Strange trailer this morning, so now Rogue One is just like paled
All right.
in to insignificance because Doctor Strange is one of my all-time favorite comic
Fair
characters
enough.
ever, and he never gets comics. So I'm so pleased he's got a film because it means he'll have some books coming out. So well, he does, he's got a book out now. And the trailer is awesome. So
We were discussing that yesterday. We saw it was oh, Doctor Strange is coming out. It's another Marvel movie. Is Doctor Strange anyone's favorite? And we were like, I can't think of anybody who really loves Doctor Strange. And now I found one.
yeah,
There we are.
Doctor Strange is freaking
Fair enough.
awesome. I don't understand the rest of the world. He doesn't think he's awesome. Master of the Mystic Arts.
Nice.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
I'll be honest,
excited.
I've read little to no Doctor Strange.
Ah, see, that's what people do because he has no books out. But if you did, he would become a favorite because he's awesome.
Well, I'm perfectly willing to have my mind changed when the film comes out.
Okay. I can, yeah, might bring that in tonight because we're meeting tonight for writing
Oh,
group. So.
yeah.
And now we are truly
Now we are. We've,
waffling. Sorry, listeners, but
We've drifted off into all sorts again.
yeah, we have. Off topic, but that is the definition of arguing the toss.
Yep. All
And
right.
so
Shall we call it a podcast there then?
we shall.
Excellent.
And until next time, don't forget to leave us some comments. Give us a thumbs up, tell us what you'd like us to talk about, and all that good social media stuff. Until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.
Bye.